mess with me and make me start expecting that when I walk out, you know. Haven't even heard me preach yet, so you don't know if I can do that or not. But I am, I have thought of 100 things I wanted to say right now. I've had 6 weeks to sit and think about what I wanted to say right now. But I want to make sure, first of all, and say thank you. Thank you to you as my church family. I have a very, very loving family who has helped me enormously through this time. Could not have done this without them. Grateful for the medical team that's been working on me, but grateful to our Father who has sped this along. I've had some people say, are you coming back too quickly? This is an experiment this morning. So we'll see. And hopefully the answer is, no, I'm not coming back too quickly, but I have promised my doctor that I would go part-time for him a couple more weeks, and this morning I'm going to try to preach as best I can, and we'll see how the Lord leads in this time. I was dismissed by 3 different cardio groups in the past week who've said, we're done with you. So I think they're done, and said, come back in a year. Which I said, so you think I'll have a year, which is good. I'll take that promise, you know. So I'm listening right now. The year sounds great. I'll take that. So it's been an interesting time, and I know those of you who've been through this, a lot of you have, you know, what it feels like. And I'm grateful to you for understanding, giving me grace and time to heal up a little bit. And I'm trying to learn. I'm limited to a 20-pound limit on lifting until October. Which is a problem, and my problem presented itself last night when I went by to see my granddaughter for a moment, and she came running out of her bedroom saying, Poppy, 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 and so I reached down and picked her up. My son yelled at, Dad, what are you doing? Because she weighs 45 pounds. And interestingly, I didn't hear anything pop or crack or, you know, spring loose. So I'm thankful, but it didn't even occur to me that I'm not supposed to do that. So I'm trying to learn the different things that I'm supposed to do, and I'm trying to learn different things like pacing myself. And I have been walking a lot, and which has been good. I like doing that. But anyway, God is good. We'll see how the day goes. We might want to record this, folks, in the back, just in case I don't make it to the next service, so you can have at least a recording at 11. But hopefully this will be just the first of many. But I'm glad to be back. I have missed you tremendously. You look great from behind, but I love sitting up here and seeing you. And seeing your faces, so it's just incredible. And thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for feeding me. The gifts, the cards, the texts, the encouragement, the prayers have just blown my mind again. You're an incredible church. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Well, I want to, you know, I should have probably delayed my coming back for a couple of weeks because the chapters that we're in right now in Galatians are pretty tough. And if I had waited 2 more weeks, I could have let some guys preach through these that maybe could handle them better than I am, but we'll see how that goes. This, in fact, one of the commentators that I picked up as I was studying and preparing for the message said, this is probably the most difficult chapter in the Bible to interpret, which I think you might be right. He said there are 300 possible ways of interpreting what is in this chapter. And I don't have time to preach all 300 of them, so we'll pick one. And I want to just really focus on kind of a big picture. There's 2 or 3 thoughts that I really want to capture in this text as we get back into our study today in Galatians. Turning now to chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, in your Bibles, please. Let's get back to work. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? For it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let me stop us right there. Let me just pray. Father, how grateful I am this morning to be able to be in this place, in this moment, with this people. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your caring, your healing. Father, I know that there are continuing to be many in our church family who need prayer, who need the fervent, consistent prayers of righteous people as we have in Fruit Cove. And I'm grateful that their attention is turning to these folks as well. And Lord, we remember this morning those who very, very desperately need prayer, need your help. Give us grace as we open your word. And Father, thank you for these who have preached faithfully in the weeks before as I have been out. And thank you for guiding us by your spirit this morning that we might hear what you want us to hear together as your people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to try to sit because I made some promises that I would try to sit instead of stand and pace like I usually do. You can go ahead and place your bets now on how long that will last. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to sit very long, but we'll see how that works out. But you know, I doubt that there are many greater joys on earth than the joy of being free. We've just 2 weeks ago celebrated our freedom as a nation. And you know, that's especially true, this freedom that we take for granted sometimes. You know, if you're a person who's been a prisoner before, you understand what freedom means in ways that other people don't. Maybe you've come here from an oppressive or a totalitarian country, and you understand that freedom is something very, very precious. Maybe you've spent a lot of years of your life in bondage to an addiction, and even the news today seems like it's filled with stories of people fighting for freedom, the people of Cuba protesting against their oppressive government, asking for freedom. People around the world are struggling for freedom in the midst of the oppressive lockdown measures over COVID, and we see this in the headlines. Even Britney Spears is fighting for freedom, you know? And we see the posters on the news saying, free Britney. I don't know what she's being held captive to, but in her gilded cage, she doesn't feel free. So every place we turn, we're encountering this discussion about freedom. What does freedom really mean? And really, freedom is a huge part of what it means to be a Christian. Part of what happens to you when you become a Christian is you are set free. Romans 8, 1 and 2 tell us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. But here's the problem. We are free. Sadly, we're not living like it. We don't live like we're free. And partly that's because freedom doesn't always come to us in the way that we would expect as Christians. You know, we think freedom means getting to do what you want, when you want, how you want to do it, no restraint, no restrictions, no penalties. But that understanding of freedom, folks, that is what leads us into bondage of sin and slavery to sin, because we are broken people because of our sin.
This freedom that I'm talking about, that all of us can enjoy, comes to us as we can say, and Chris touched on this for us last week and talked about this a little bit in Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who died for me and gave himself for me. That's freedom. Freedom is not finding yourself, expressing yourself, doing what you want, giving vent to all the urges inside of you. That's not freedom. That's bondage. And that leads you into deeper slavery to sin. We're set free in Christ as we die to ourselves so that Jesus Christ can live through us. Well, how do we get there? How do we get to that point? That's what I want to talk about today. In this text, there are three kinds of freedom that I just want to focus on these three kinds of freedom. There's a whole lot of history here. There's a whole lot of background, doctrinal background, theological background that we could really get off in the weeds today if you want to. But I don't think anybody wants to stay, you know, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon do that. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to hit a couple of just touch on some mountaintops as we go along today in this text. And the first thing I want to talk about is this, and this is the first thing Paul is really encountering with us. We have freedom to think. Will you think about that with me for a moment? We have freedom to think. You know, so many people make tremendously important decisions based on how they feel. How many of you have done that? You made a decision just based on, it just felt like the right thing, so I'm going to do that. It just gutted out. You know, my gut says this is right, this is okay, let me do that. So we make these tremendously important decisions based on how we feel, not based on our rationale or even principles. You know, I've learned is I've talked to people is you can't argue somebody out of a position that they have felt their way into. And a lot of people feel their way into really important decisions, and you're going, but those are wrong. You made the wrong choice. Your feelings misled you. But you can't argue them out of those positions because they felt their way into them. We have to be careful about this. You know, that many people have felt their way, I'm seeing this with a lot of young people today. A lot of young people are feeling themselves into a position of rejecting the faith. Well, it just feels like I should say this. It just feels like I should be that. It just feels like I should do this instead of that. And they're not thinking about what are you rejecting? What are you throwing out? What are you giving away? You know, in Galatians, we find the foundation for our freedom in Christ. And Paul makes a drastic statement. It's not a great way to start a sermon. Not a great way to start a letter. If you want to endear somebody to you, you probably don't want to call them a fool. But this is exactly what he does. He said, you foolish Galatians. J.B. Phillips translates it a little bit more severe. He says, you dear idiots of Galatia. All right, this is not winning any PR awards here, okay? This is really tough. But he was not insulting. Paul was not insulting their intelligence with what he was saying. That was not at all what he was doing. He was not saying you're stupid. He was not saying you're unable to think. He was saying you're not using your faculty of thought. You are not processing these decisions thoughtfully. They were smart enough. They just weren't allowing reason to guide their decision making. He wasn't saying you're ignorant. He's just saying you're not using your mind to think this through. And one of the ways we surrender freedom, and I see this happening among people today. One of the ways we tragically surrender freedom is by not thinking for ourselves. Will you please hear me say this? If you never hear me say it again, will you please hear me say it today? You do not have to check your brain at the door to be a Christian. Christianity is not for just stupid people that can't think. Some of the smartest people I've ever met are Christian people who are thinking biblically and who process their thoughts through the lens of Scripture. But what we do is we allow other people's opinions and peer pressure, maybe social media, to hijack our thinking. Now listen to me. You're a 20-something, a teenager, listen to me, hear me. There's nothing wrong with having questions. And there's nothing wrong. I hope you understand we've tried to create an environment here where you can ask questions and you won't be rejected because you're asking questions. If you say, I've got doubts, okay, well, tell somebody. I've had doubts. Let me just tell you again, I've had doubts. What have you had? I've had doubts about my own salvation. I've had questions about the faith. And I've had to dig deep and find answers and talk to people and share my concerns. Please don't think we're going to reject you because you have doubts or you have questions. There's nothing wrong with having questions. It's okay to talk about those things. Somebody was influencing the Galatian believers and moving them away from simple faith to believing that they had to earn their salvation. Paul said, who is doing this? Who is bewitching you? He uses an interesting word that we don't use much anymore. We use a lot of different terms. I got introduced to a game by my family. My granddaughter the other night introduced me. She said, Papa, you've got to come over and you've got to play this game with me. It's called Bean Boozled. Let me just introduce you. Can we do the video? Is that okay? Can we throw the video up here? Just a second. Just a quick video.
All right.
We got two.
Got two. All right. Are you giving them to us?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Bean Boozled.
Daddy either has juicy pear or booger.
Juicy pear or booger.
And Poppy either has stinky socks. Or birthday cake.
Oh, sticky socks, right, or birthday cake.
Count down from three.
3, 2, 1, go. Eat it.
I got juicy pear.
Oh, stinky socks. No.
Oh,
no.
Oh. Drink some water.
That's awful.
Okay, I got stinky socks.
That's awful.
Okay, I've never put a stinky sock in my mouth before, but if I did, I imagine that's exactly how it would taste. It was really accurate. The folks at Jelly Belly have created a really accurate taste issue here. And basically what this is a little jelly bean game, and you get something, there's some jelly beans, they kind of look similar, and they can be one of two flavors, and one of the flavors is really, really nasty. And one of them is, you can get dead fish flavored and moldy cheese flavored, and I can go worse. You better have a strong constitution to play this game, because it tastes just like it's advertised. It says this, it's what it tastes like. And Paul's saying, listen, why are you settling for a stinky sock version of faith when you could have the sweetness of the gospel? You could have the taste, that sweet pear taste. Oh, that juicy pear, so good. Why do you keep eating stinky socks? Why are you letting these people bean boozle you? Why do you do this over? Now, that's essentially what he's saying. And he's saying it makes no sense. What you're doing makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. We have the freedom to think. And listen, folks, we have to use that ability to think, to use the thought and the brain that God's given us. Secondly, we have the freedom to believe. So we not only have the freedom, and I might even add the responsibility to think as Christians, but and that means to think in line with Scripture, but we also have the necessity. We've got to believe. Listen, you become a Christian because you believe. You did not become a Christian because you figured this out. You became a Christian because you, at some point in the process, you took a step of faith. You believed God. Just like it says about Abraham in this text. Abraham comes into this text a lot because Abraham was the first one who believed God, who took God at his word, who trusted God at what he was saying, and it was counted to him. It was, we used to say in the old, the King James Version was reckoned. I guess Paul was from Texas, but... It's counted to you as righteousness. It's given to you as righteousness. That's how the gospel works. You don't earn it. You can't do enough to pay God back or to prove that you are worthy of it. You are not. You are not justified by God because you're worthy of being justified by God. You're justified by God because you trust him. You took him at his word. You took him at his word. And as important as thinking is to our faith, thinking alone will not lead you to salvation. Our thought process can help form us and deepen us, but we enter into life. We find new life in Jesus Christ through believing, through faith alone, not by thinking. Not by thinking our way through it, not by trying to figure things out. That's not the way it works. Paul's argument was simply this. If you come to salvation by believing in Jesus, he was saying, how do you start out, are you so foolish? You began in the spirit. Are you now being perfected by the flesh? How do you think you can perfect yourself and make yourself more acceptable to God by your own effort? That's what the false teachers were saying. In other words, salvation is not dependent on our actions or on any activity that we do at any point on the spectrum here. At the beginning, in the middle, at the end, from start to finish, salvation is something that God does for us. You are given the Spirit when you become a Christian. You trust Jesus. You are saved. You are given the Holy Spirit. And then you are able to do the things that God wants you to do. Don't get that out of order. Let me contrast it this way. You know, you see, we're either gonna try by our own efforts, by keeping the law of God, to make ourselves acceptable to God, or we're gonna believe, we're gonna trust that God has done everything that is necessary for us to be made righteous. Now I want you to really examine yourselves. Christians, hear me. I'm preaching the gospel to you today. Not because you need to be saved, but because you need to continue to understand how you got saved. How did this happen for you? Don't lose track of this. Don't lose this vision of what God did for you, because we can be deceived just like the Galatians were. We can be bewitched or bamboozled. We can be knocked off track by false teaching if we're not careful. So we need to continue to hear the truth of the gospel for ourselves. How did you get saved? Paul said, listen, how did this begin for you? You heard the word and you believed, the hearing of faith. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't keep the law. In fact, Paul goes on in verse 10 and says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. For the law is not of faith, rather the one who does these things shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's you, that's me if you're not Jewish, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. How did you get saved? You didn't do it by keeping the law. You didn't do it by doing good things, by being a nice person, by joining the right church, by being raised in the right family or the right country or the right background. That is not how you became a Christian. You are a Christian because of faith, simple faith, believing God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul said, don't get this turned around. Don't believe, don't start believing that somehow you have to earn salvation, that God is still kind of, the jury's still out on whether or not you are a righteous person. You were made righteous the moment you believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. We begin in faith, we continue in faith, by grace through faith, God leads us home. That's the way this works. And then finally, third, we have the freedom to live. Now we've received, this is what Paul said, well, you've received the Spirit by faith. It is having the Spirit of God within you that makes you a Christian. All right? If you do not have the Spirit of God inside of you, look in your own heart, look in your own life. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you are not a Christian. Whatever else you might think you are not a Christian. And let me say that again for clarity. It is by having the indwelling presence of God in you through the Holy Spirit that you are a Christian. Not by trying again to be a good or helpful person. You can do that without the Holy Spirit. Not going to church. You can go to church without the Holy Spirit. A lot of people do. It's not by being spiritual or having spiritual experiences. We dwell in the presence of God through His personal presence inside of us. He comes to us. He comes inside of us. We dwell with him because he has initiated this. He has come to us first. So how do you get that? You say, well, Pastor Tim, I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit in me. Well, then let me say this again. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't belong to God. You might be trying to earn the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, but that's not the way this works. God gives this to you as a gift of grace through faith. You believe. You believe. Again, you might belong to a family of good church-going, fried chicken-eating Southern Baptist people. That might be who you are. But if you really want to live in the freedom that God has for you, you're gonna only know that by the presence of the indwelling Spirit in you. And God will only come into the life of a person. God will only be able to live in the life of a person who is crucified in Christ. You know what it means to be crucified in Christ? It means you give your identity to Jesus. And he gives his identity to you. You know, one of the biggest crises in our culture is today. People don't know who they are. They have no clue. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they believe. So we get blown around by everybody else's opinion. And we decide we're going to identify with this group. Or we're going to stand with that group. We're going to do this. We don't know who we are. Listen, you were created to worship God. You were created to be in the presence of God. You were created to be a person who loves and serves the Lord God through Jesus Christ. That's your identity. That's who you're supposed to be. And when you're crucified in Christ, your identity becomes Jesus. Jesus. And your sins are wiped away. And your condemnation is taken away. And you don't have to worry about judgment. You don't have to worry about condemnation from God. That's not going to happen. So let me go back to the key passage in this text and I'll be done. We're made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Simply that. Believing the word of God. Believing that what God said is true. No other way. You don't add anything to that to make it better. You can't take anything from it to mess it up. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, you receive the Spirit by hearing. You hear the gospel. You hear the word. You hear. In fact, Paul said, listen, I have portrayed Jesus Christ before you. I have publicly... That Jesus Christ has been publicly portrayed before you as crucified. Paul is saying, as I have preached the gospel, you with your own is almost with your own eyes, you saw Jesus Christ crucified for you. What else do you think you need? There's nothing else. There's no other way. There's no better way. There's nothing anybody can do to make it better. It is as good as it's ever going to get because you've trusted Jesus Christ. Is that how you became a Christian? Are you a Christian today? Does the Spirit of God live inside of you? Are you a person who lives by faith in Jesus Christ? That's the question before you. Let me pray with us for a moment. And Father, right now, as we do bow our heads to pray, we pray that in this day that you will speak to hearts, first of all, to confirm in us, those of us who are here who do trust you and follow you, Lord, that this is how this happened. We're not better people than anybody else. We're not more righteous people than anybody else because of what we have done, but because of what you have said about us, and that is because of our faith in you, because we have trusted in you. We have been made righteous through the blood, the sacrifice, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray today, Lord, that there might be those here who maybe have never made that decision. They're in a religious cycle. They think that, like the Galatians, that there's something that they need to be doing and something that they need to be acting out on that will make them acceptable to you. And that is not true, and that's not freedom. That's bondage. Set us free. Set us free in the truth of the gospel. And Father, may we never give up our freedom to think as your Spirit leads us, our freedom to believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus alone, is our sacrifice and our atonement for salvation. And that your Spirit is the way to live in true freedom. Father, we live before you now. Bring ourselves to you now. Speak to hearts, Father. Draw people to you, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you walk forward today, if you would like to make a decision, Jonathan will be here to meet you as you step down front. And I'm grateful that, again, you're here today. Thankful for your presence in God's house. And I'm thankful to get to be with you today. Let's stand together. You come as God leads you now.